Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great team over at touringplans.com. I'm going to give you a challenge this week, and I'm going to ask you, if you are not a premium subscriber to touringplans.com, and if you're not, what are you doing? Go ahead and download the Lines app. It's going to give you lots of great information, even as a non-subscriber, to make that next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation great. But I think you'll agree, once you play around with Lines, that you get so much great information for just your 1 year subscription of $12.95 that this is going to be some of the best money you spend on that next Disney vacation. Because remember, time is money when you're at a Disney park and you want to stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible. And this app lets you do just that. Check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 865 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and don't you wish it was still last Monday when we were all off for Memorial Day, but you know, it is what you make it, so let's make Monday great today and have a good time kicking off another week and actually another month here in June by having a great trip report and talking about just a couple of trips actually today, so we're going to have a good time. Joining us today from North Carolina, we have Carmen. How's it going, Carmen?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Had to squeeze in a little Monsters, Inc. Line there for you. I love that. All right. So let's talk about your recent trip. And you've done a couple since we've been talking. And, you know, for folks that have been on our Monday shows, we know that sometimes there's a little bit of a gap until we can actually sit down and record. And you had one in between when we first talked about your trip we were going to talk about. So you stayed at Boardwalk, did you not?
We sure did. We went in April for the Flower and Garden Festival, and so we decided to try staying at an Epcot resort, and this was the first time for us at any of the Epcot resorts.
Now, let me ask you about Boardwalk, because when I think of Epcot area resorts, I'm just drawn to like Yacht and Beach Club, but Boardwalk looks beautiful across the way, but I just never think of staying there. So what gave you the idea that was the place to put your head for this particular trip?
Well, it's actually an interesting story. We originally had booked the Contemporary, but they came out with one of those annual pass holder discounts, the 35% off. And I couldn't get it for Contemporary or Beach Club, but they had it for Boardwalk. And so we decided with the Flower and Garden Festival and with 35% off, we would give Boardwalk a try. So that was actually our main reason for picking it. And we're very glad we did. We loved it.
You know, I think that's a great tip for our listeners, that if you're an annual pass holder or, you know, just for discounts in general, to kind of be open-minded with those things, because I know a lot of times we have our heart set. Now, you know, I'm the worst one. I'm in this like Riverside thing the last few years. You know, I really love Riverside. I'm looking forward to it here, and you know, next month now, and I want to stay there. But I remember staying at Coronado Springs, loved it, but I didn't expect to love it. So I think that, you know, you make a good point that sometimes the financial sense says, you know what, let's get outside of our comfort zone and try something new. And it, you know, it's Disney, and I've never had a bad experience, even though, like you said, you wanted the Contemporary, but it sounds like you had a good trip anyhow.
Oh, definitely. And I'm just one of those people where I won't pay rack rate if I can get a discount. So I'm willing to move around, especially with any of the deluxes are wonderful, at least the ones I've stayed at so far. So I don't feel like you can really go wrong. So I just look for whoever has the discount at the time.
That's a good philosophy, because it gets you, you know, like I said, it'll get you moving around, having new experiences and saving the most amount of money. So we definitely agree there. I've tried to stay away from rack rate as much as possible. That's when you're really desperate and you really need your Disney fix, when you're paying rack rate, because there's really not a whole lot of reasons to nowadays. I mean, unless you're going, and I've gone at Christmas time, you know, I'm a sucker and I've paid rack rate then, but you know, it's, you got to get out of St. Louis when it's that cold. They know they've got you. So, well, let's talk about this trip. So Flower and Garden was going on. We haven't talked about that much on the show. So what were your overall thoughts of your time at Flower and Garden?
We really enjoyed it. We've been a few times for Flower and Garden, but we've enjoyed it a lot since they added the food and beverage booths, sort of like a mini Food and Wine. I know they don't have as many kiosks, but we've really enjoyed that now that they've added that to the festival. So that made it a lot more enjoyable. The flowers are beautiful. The topiaries are great. But once you've sort of done a pass and seen them, it feels like it's kind of over. Whereas with the booze, that adds a whole nother dimension to it and kept us sort of coming back every evening to sample different things. So we really enjoyed it. Had a great time.
Now, did you say booths or did you say booze that keep you coming back?
Booths.
Could be either.
Exactly. And there was some of that too.
I was going to say, really, either one is acceptable. They keep you coming back to Epcot. So tell us about, because did you not say you brought another friend with you on this trip?
We sure did. A really good friend of mine I've actually known since childhood went with us on this trip. And she's been to Disney with us once before, but it was only for a really short, like 3-day stay, and then she had to leave. So this time she came we were there for 8 nights. And she said she enjoyed it a lot more, being able to take our time and really, take in everything without feeling like you had to rush or sort of burn the candle at both ends and go from sunup to sundown. We could go back, relax at the pool, take our time. And so she said she had a really good time. And I think we all three really enjoyed it. And it was fun having someone with us because usually it's just the two of us. We've brought family one time and we've brought her one time, but all the other trips are just the two of us. And so it adds a different dimension having a friend on the trip. You end up doing things that you might not normally do. Like we ate out a lot more at like table service. My husband and I tend to just do mostly quick service, but with her there, we decided to do more table service. So it, changed the way the trip played out, which was nice.
Yeah, it's kind of what I was going to ask, because when you have somebody else there, a friend, somebody from the family that doesn't experience Disney as much as many of us do, it kind of forces you to do those things that you're like, we do that enough, but like you say, eating out a little bit more and kind of switching up your touring. So it sounds like fun was had by all, by your friend joining you.
Definitely. And I think we even learned that we like some things better, because we usually do the early magic hour. And she's not an early morning person, so we skipped that and just did whatever the predicted lowest attendance park of the day was and ignored all the early magic and late magic and everything. And it actually worked out great. It was much more relaxing. And so I think we're going to continue that trend even when she's not with us. And then it was really nice to sit down each day and have a table service, which, like I said, we normally don't do. But it was very hot the week we were there. The high was in the 90s. And we had come from 50s in North Carolina, and so it was a bit of a shock to the system. So to take that break in the middle of the day and have a table service was really nice.
So what dates were you guys there for planning purposes? So people that maybe are going next year to Flower and Garden, hey, it could be hot during this time.
Yes, it was surprisingly hot. We were there April 18th, and we came back Sunday, April 26th. And I think the week right after that, it was only in the low 80s. We just hit a really incredibly hot week. We had unusually cold week the week before in North Carolina. Normally it'd be 60s or 70s, but it had been in the 50s and raining for the high. And so it really was a big shock to go to straight from that to low 90s.
I was going to say mid-April for it to be in the 90s, man. I'm sure the Floridians were even sweating that one out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about, you mentioned you got to do some table service and maybe a couple restaurants that stood out for you on that trip.
Our absolute favorite of some new things we tried was La Hacienda de San Angel. I'm probably murdering that. It's the one on the water, since I can't speak proper Spanish. So not the one that's inside the Mexico Pavilion, but the one that's on the water. We had never eaten there because we tend to eat lunch when we do table service, and it's only open for dinner. Like, I think it opens at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so we tried that, and my husband and I split grilled scallops and shrimp and fish, and everything was perfect, like perfectly cooked. The service was good. We loved everything about it, and I think our friend would agree with us that was the best of the restaurants. And then our other favorite is a go-to on every trip for us, which is Boma. We love Boma. We always make a point to eat there on every trip.
Yeah, Boma is a good one because I think everybody can find something that is not only unique, because there's so many unique items, but also some almost like comfort foods. I mean, not, it's not like Trail's End or anything where you get, like fried chicken and strawberry shortcake. But I mean, I think they do a good job of having so much on that buffet over at Animal Kingdom Lodge that you get to really step outside your comfort zone, but also go back up and grab some mac and cheese or something. You know, that's,
I really
my plate
agree.
Looks weird there.
Yeah, you get a little bit of everything, and the food's always wonderful. Like, I've never had anything there that wasn't great. And I can't eat gluten, and all of the Disney restaurants are amazing about that. But Boma in particular, they just do such a fantastic job of making sure that I have all the options available to me possible, and they'll even offer to cook me separate things so it's not contaminated on the buffet. They're just really amazing there, and that makes it fun for me. You know, it's nice to go and relax and not even have to think about it.
Yeah, it's good to hear, and I've always heard that Disney does such a great job with that, and I just found out actually my nephew, he was having some issues with his some health issues, and he found out that, you know, he's got a gluten allergy, so now, you know, we're kind of learning how we can support him. And one of the things that I was talking with the family is that, because they go to Disney about every other year, and I said, you know what? What's ironic is that, you know, you can go to Walt Disney World and they're going to take good care of you, from what I've heard. And that, like, we haven't had to do it firsthand, but I'm excited that, you know, they can still have their Walt Disney World vacation and not really have to sweat that while they're down there, because there's enough things you got to worry about. They have 5 kids.
So, wow. I mean,
let's make sure everybody can at least eat, you know? So, you know, I've heard that Yes. That's a good thing, and it sounds like you had a good experience too.
It's wonderful. I mean, even their quick service is wonderful about that. That's one of the reasons I love going to Disney so much. It's, of course, not the only one, but when you travel and you have to be careful about something like that, it makes it a little more stressful. But when I go to Disney, there's no added stress because I know they're going to take good care of me in that regard. So it really does add another huge plus towards Disney World.
Nice. Well, let's talk about your touring of the parks. Okay, so mid-April, I can't remember exactly. Was this right around Easter? I can't remember this year.
No, this is nice and clear of Easter. So it's after the crowds have gone. Easter was fairly early in the month. I don't remember the exact date. And so I left even another extra week buffer. And so we had pretty low crowds. I think the crowd calendar said anywhere from a 3 to a 5, you know, given the weekends were higher, of course, and the middle of the week was lower. But using those crowd calendars to pick the lowest attendance parks worked great for us because we were able to ride so many things. I can't even remember a trip other than maybe in September when it's really low attendance that we were able to, you know, only wait like 10, 15 minutes for many, many rides. Of course, not Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and things like that. But, you know, any of the non-super headliners, we were able to get on without much of a wait. It was really great.
I'm so jealous of that. I, you know, if I showed up and there was like a 2 or 3, I think the place was like closed or abandoned or something. You know, like a 9 is good for me because, you know, it's like I get to go. Basically, we go in the summer, we go on race weekends, or we go over Christmas. So, you know what? Wow. A 9 is like a 1 to me. So if I ever saw that, I'd be worried that the place is going out of business or something. That's crazy. And you get the better weather.
Compared to that November trip you mentioned, the crowds were way lighter this trip, and it was really nice. It was just very relaxing because we didn't feel like we had to rush in the morning from item to item. We could just take our time because the lines, like I said, and we had fast passes for the headliners, so all the other things we could just sort of take our time.
Let me ask you about this too, kind of in general for both trips and just how you take care of your Walt Disney World vacation. How do you go about planning, you know, as far as like scheduling fast passes and ADRs? You know, are you one of those people that's up the crack of dawn at day 180 to grab those meals and, you know, 12:01 a.m. to grab your fast passes? How do you go about planning and preparing for the next trip?
Well, I get up incredibly early for work, 3:30 a.m. to be exact. And so that gives me an advantage because I don't really have to, you know, get up in the middle of the night. What I do is for the ADRs, like I said, we don't eat out a lot. And the places we tend to eat at are not as in demand. Even though Boma is fantastic, you don't have to be on at 6:01 a.m. Mm-hmm. to get a Boma reservation. So since we like to eat at the not quite is, you know, like we usually don't go to Be Our Guest, for example, which is a, you know, hard to get one. So I haven't had any problem, but I can get on at 6:01 since I'm already up. In fact, I'm getting ready to leave for work at that point. So it's a pretty good time for me, and I'll go ahead and grab them if it's convenient. But if it's not, I just do it a different day. I just really haven't had a hard time with ADRs. Again, we go at low attendance times of the year too, so that helps. For the fast passes, I just get on when I get up at 3:30. I'm not gonna get up at midnight. I think that would kill me. And I haven't had any trouble getting, the fast passes I wanted at the times I wanted. Now, we do usually go, like I said, for 8 nights. So that helps us because we can go towards the end of that week to grab like 7 dwarves if it's already taken up earlier in the week. So that's what I usually do, is I start with the latest day in the trip and work my way back and make sure I get those, you know, hard to get ones first.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's one of my biggest tips that I tell people. And I don't know that we've really mentioned it a whole lot here on the podcast, but like when you're going, you know, we're going for 7 nights before the cruise next month. And I know that Mallory would want to see Anna and Elsa. And we definitely want to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So you're exactly right. What you do is we're checking in on the 4th of July. But when that window opened, I went to like the 8th and the 9th of July to grab Anna and Elsa and Seven Dwarves and then work my way back, because you're exactly right. Because if you go for the first day and you kind of go chronologically, you're going to be running into more people that are going for that certain day, where if you can push it out, you're only going against people that are staying 7 or 8 nights at that point. And that's such a great tip. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because if you're looking for those scarce fast passes, that is almost a surefire way to kind of get a, because we're always looking for a leg up to have an advantage. And that's really one of the few advantages you can have with the system.
Right. I agree. And like I said, I haven't had a problem. It could be, like you said, though, we definitely go during lower attendance times compared to the examples that you gave of like Christmas and summer. We did take our nephews one summer, but that was before FastPass Plus. We're taking them again next summer, so I'll get to experience. I may be getting up at 12:01 to make those, because I'll be competing with everybody else. It's the same reason that you can't go, you know, during off season. Mm-hmm. Their mother is a school teacher as well, and so we've got to wait till late June till she's clear of the school to be able to make that trip. So yes, I'll be living in your world for that trip.
It's okay. You know, I love being a school teacher today. It's June 1st. I don't have to go back to work till August. So I'm fine with being a teacher today. Let me just tell you, you can probably hear the smile on my face. I'm just podcasting. Life is good.
Yes, so. I'll be envious while I'm getting up at 3:30 all summer.
That is so painful. Oh, I can't imagine. I get up at 5:30 to run most days, but 3:30. Okay, that's when I'm getting my good sleep. We didn't really talk about Boardwalk. So what did you think of the accommodations over there? I mean, was it as good as what you had in the past in the other deluxe resorts? Is it someplace you're looking to go back again sometime?
Definitely. I think it was better. We haven't stayed in a lot of deluxe resorts. We've stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge twice, and we've stayed at the Contemporary once, but in the garden wing. So not in the main building, but that small odd building that's a little bit off to the side. And the rooms in that building are fantastic, but you're separated from the main building. And so compared to Boardwalk, I definitely liked Boardwalk better because we were so close to everything, central to everything. And then compared to Animal Kingdom Lodge, I don't know that I would say it's better. It's just very different. I'd say the rooms are equally nice. The resorts are equally nice, but there's not many resorts you can look out your balcony and see a giraffe. So that makes Animal Kingdom unique. But then you have the long bus rides to the park. Whereas Boardwalk, you can walk to Epcot, you can walk to Hollywood Studios, or take the boat if you don't want to walk. And we loved that. We loved being able to walk everywhere. So we spent a huge amount of time at those two parks. And I probably spent less time at Magic Kingdom than I ever have, because that's my favorite park. But it was just so nice not to have to get on a bus and go to the other two parks. We really enjoyed that. And then we really lucked out and got a fifth floor room facing Epcot, so we could watch Illuminations from our room every night, and we could even hear the music. So that was really special.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we would just stand out on the balcony every night. Like, even if we were out, we were like, oh, we have to get back because we have to be back by 9 so we can watch Illuminations, because it was just great. Yeah, because you're not in the crowd, you're sitting there comfortably on your balcony, you know, with a nice drink, watching the fireworks, and you could hear the music. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah, you have your VIP personal seats there for Illuminations. Yeah, that's better.
That was
cruise.
Really neat. I didn't know they had any top floor rooms that weren't concierge, but apparently they do, because we were in a standard room and we just got incredibly lucky. It was a great view.
I'd love to hear when that happens to friends. That's awesome. So let me ask you one other thing about Boardwalk, and then I want to talk about your other trip, because you stayed at Fort Wilderness, right? The cabins?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I want to talk about that, but the one thing that kind of gets me about Boardwalk, and I think it's because my family grew up staying at Pop Century, you know, that when we were younger, and you know, the values, and we've kind of graduated to the moderates sometimes, but we're very much a type of family that enjoys the food court, you know, like going down, grabbing your mug if you have it, filling it up with soda, grabbing a bite to eat at the food court, hitting the pool, you know, and just kind of going through there, getting an ice cream bar or something. How's the dining like at Boardwalk? Because I know you have the Boardwalk Bakery, you know, and I'm a huge fan of that place. That rocks. But it's not that kind of same setup as like a Moderate or a Value with a food court area and stuff like that. So do you find that to be a challenge?
For me in particular, it was a challenge with the gluten issue. They have the little hot dog stand out there. They have a pizza window. And then they have the bakery that you mentioned, the Boardwalk Bakery. I couldn't eat at the pizza window or the hot dog stand at all. Like, they actually had a sign up saying that they couldn't accommodate allergies, you know, have a nice day. And so the bakery was the only option. And I hate to complain about things, but they had two sandwiches, but the bread for the sandwich was really bad. There's no nice way to say it. It was, I've eaten plenty of gluten-free bread and there's great bread out there. That was not it. And they had a salad. So those were my choices, these two sandwiches that weren't very good and a salad. Luckily, you're at Epcot. So once I realized I wasn't crazy about the selections, we would just walk over and eat at the kiosks at Epcot for the Flower and Garden Festival and just sort of have a leisure dinner working our way around the world. And so it worked out great. But yes, I agree with what you said. I prefer the food courts at Pop Century in particular has a great food court. I know a lot of people like Landscape of Flavors at Art of Animation, and I've tried both. I still prefer Pop Century. I love their food court.
Yeah, I just like, you know, when you're there, you're so close to both. I don't think people realize that you can literally walk from food court to food court in 5 minutes, because it's not, you know, you think those resorts are huge and they're spread out, which they are, they're big, but the way they're shaped there on Hourglass Lake, you can just go right across the bridge and you can go from one to the other. So you really get the best of two awesome food courts 5 minutes
away. I totally agree, because we're funny, because you mentioned graduating from a Value to a Moderate. We only stayed at Moderate one time and we didn't really like it. Now, I haven't stayed at Riverside, so I might love that. And I have been over there. I just haven't stayed there. But we stayed at Caribbean Beach. And we didn't care for it, mostly just the bus situation, you know, how spread out it is and how many bus stops there are. And so we mostly stay at Pop Century or Deluxe, which I know sounds crazy, but, you know, it just depends on how the budget is in a given year. And if the budget's tighter, we stay at Pop Century. If the budget's better, we usually stay at a Deluxe or the cabins at Fort Wilderness. We've stayed many times there, but even though it's a Moderate, it's really a Deluxe price to me. It's about the same price as a Wilderness Lodge room, which is a Deluxe. So, I mean, it's one of those that sort of price-wise is almost a Deluxe.
Nice. Well, let's kind of make that transition over to Fort Wilderness and the cabins, because this is, again, one of those places I love going to Trails End. I love going over to Fort Wilderness, and we've stayed at Wilderness Lodge once now, and I remember, you know, I loved every morning getting up and jogging from Wilderness Lodge over to Fort Wilderness. Ran right past all these cabins. We've bussed through there, gone to Hoop-Dee-Doo and so forth. I'm intrigued by the cabins, but I just can't pull the trigger on it because, again, my family is that type of family, especially my wife and my girls. You know, they like that food court. They like that setup of a Value and a Moderate that Disney has, and I just think that it might put them so far outside their comfort zone of what they know and expect out of a Disney vacation that it might not be something that, you know, because we look forward to it all year. I don't want to give them something they're not looking forward to. So what are your overall thoughts on staying in the cabin and how it kind of is different for that vacation?
I think the biggest thing about it is it's completely unique to all the other options. I mean, short of camping in a tent, I suppose that's pretty unique, but I do not want to camp in a tent. It gets you in the woods, away from the noise. You're not connected to anyone else, so there's no noisy neighbors, no kids running down the hall screaming at 2 a.m. when they got back from Magic Kingdom. You know, it's just peaceful, it's quiet, you hear frogs, you hear crickets, but that's about it. You have your own personal deck and picnic table, your own grill, like charcoal grill if you want to grill out. It has a full kitchen, a good size living room, I think it'll sit 6 people dining room table. And then it has the bedroom, which has one full-size bed and 2 bunk beds. And then there's a pull-down Murphy bed that's also a full-size bed. in the living room, and we tried it one time, and it actually is very, very comfortable. So all the beds are good, and we haven't tried the bunk beds, but I assume they're fine. And I love having the full kitchen. That sort of goes back to my, you know, food restrictions. That's another nice thing, is having a refrigerator. It's full size appliances, oven, stove, the whole works, so you can cook everything. And to what you said about your family enjoying the food court, I think if you stay at the cabin, it's really, you need to want to eat in, you know, because if you're going to eat out every meal, you're sort of paying for a kitchen that you're not utilizing. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't know that it would be worth it. You'd be better off staying in like one of the family suites at Art of Animation, you know, if you don't need the kitchen.
Now, do you guys, because you're in North Carolina, do you drive down and bring groceries, or is it something where you get groceries delivered? How do you go about that?
We drive down, and like this last trip, since we didn't have a kitchen, we did just bring whatever groceries we needed, you know, like water and snacks and stuff with us in the car. But if we're staying at like the cabin and plan to cook dinner every night, we'll usually go to like the Publix or a grocery store in Florida once we get down there, because there's so many perishables that we need, and we don't want to try to keep those iced down. Because what we usually do is actually drive down after work and then spend the night outside of Disney property, like 30 minutes outside of Orlando, and then drive on in the next morning. Because, you know, you're not spending time at the resort, so why, sorry, but pay Disney prices if you're not, you know, taking advantage of the amenities. So then we drive in that morning, go by the grocery store, check in, and then head to the parks. And that's worked out pretty well for us.
Now, let me ask you this, because I know you were down there at the cabins, you know, right at Christmas time, and I've heard that is the place to be, and I've seen it. I've gone through there to see the decorations. They're incredible. So, you know, how does your Disney vacation change when you're at the cabins as opposed to maybe a Boardwalk or Contemporary or Animal Kingdom Lodge? Is there anything that you know, go in with different expectations as to how you're going to tour, and maybe even, like you said, you're going to dine a little bit different because now you have a kitchen?
Right. It's definitely very different. It's almost like two extremes, really. They're both very, very nice, but there's pluses and minuses to each one. The plus to me for the cabin is sort of the isolation, the peace and quiet, the nature surrounding you. Like, we see deer, we see wild turkeys, you see all different kinds of wildlife. We saw a raccoon one night. You see a little bit of everything. And it gives you almost that camping experience without the roughing it part. Like, it's a very luxurious way, air-conditioned way to camp. The downside is, unless you rent a golf cart, which is quite pricey, so we never do, or unless you drive every day to the parks, you have to take an internal bus before you can take the external bus. So you take a bus that just runs within Fort Wilderness before you go to the bus stop to catch another bus to go to all the parks, or you take a bus, internal bus, to the boat to take to Magic Kingdom. And we timed it that last trip, and we spent at least an hour each time to get to a park and to get back. Wow. At least. A lot of times it was way over that. Because if you just happen to miss the bus both times, both the internal one and the one, you know, that's taking you to, say, Epcot, you can end up waiting a long time. And so that's probably, to me, the biggest downside. I think if we stay there again, other than Magic Kingdom, I'd probably drive to the other parks and just park in the parking lot.
No. With your car, though, do you not have to take an internal bus to get to your car? Or at the cabins, can you park your car on the site? I can't remember how that works.
You park it right at the cabin, and that's nice. Another huge plus. You unload, like, literally the car's right next to the door to the cabin. So it's, for unloading purposes, that part's really, really nice. You don't have to take your luggage very far at all. You just have to walk up about four steps and you're in the cabin. So that part's really nice. And again, if you're going to drive to the park, it's convenient because your car's right there. You walk out your front door and step in your car. So that's nice. There's nowhere to park, though, where the buses are and the boats and everything, unless you have a golf cart. So that's why you have to take the internal bus. Or I suppose you could walk if you happen to get lucky. And like, one year we had a cabin that was actually pretty close to the front where the bus stop is, and we actually walked. But this past November, we were pretty deeply into Fort Wilderness, so it would have been a hike.
It's one of those, like, positives and negative situations, you know, like, you're deep into the, you know, the heart of Fort Wilderness. That'd be awesome. But I mean, then you got to wait for the bus. But like you say, if you're kind of on the outskirts, maybe you could hoof it. You know, hey, you just, right. It justifies eating more. You know, that's how I look at it. You know, hey, I'm burning more calories. I got to eat another cupcake.
That's one way to look at it. Yeah, it's What I don't like about it is it's not conducive to taking a midday break. Now, it was freezing in November, so that was okay because we could just plow through because we weren't hot, we were cold. But in April, when it would hit, you know, 92, 93, we would go back to the boardwalk and then hang out in the room 2 or 3 hours and then go back out to Epcot in the evening because we could just stroll over. So the proximity issue and the long transportation sort of makes the cabins not as conducive to taking that break. So say if someone had small children that need a nap, that kind of thing, I don't know that that would be the best place to stay.
That's a good tip, though, because, again, like you said, Disney does give us a lot of options. And these, you know, the cabins are definitely something that is basically an outlier from the rest of the experiences, like the typical hotel, motel type experience you get. But, you know, there's something to be said for that, because I think we all need to get disconnected and get back to nature. I haven't done it. I'm saying that, but I wish I could. I just don't know that my wife and my girls would, you know, we don't want to hear crickets. I don't know. You know, it's like I want to take that chance, but I'm just like, I'm gun shy on it. And I think a lot of our listeners may be the same way.
Well, you're very right about the quick service, because they really don't have quick service per se. You have to go to Trails End and sort of order off this to-go menu. And I did that one night, and granted, I had to get a special meal for them to make it gluten-free, but it wasn't very good. I only did that one time. So I would say if you're staying there, just go ahead and eat at proper Trails End, like sit down and eat, because the food in the restaurant's great, but the takeout I didn't really care for, and that's really your only option for quick service. So you're definitely right about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem eating at Trails End multiple times on a trip. I love that place. That's a great...
And it's very affordable.
So yes.
I think it's one of the overlooked gems, because the food for a buffet, the prices, especially the breakfast buffet, is very affordable. I want to say we paid like $17 or $18. It was sort of shockingly affordable.
And for folks that have never been to Disney, yes, that is Disney affordable.
Yes, that's very good for a Disney buffet. That's a very good price.
It's not Cracker Barrel affordable, but it is Disney affordable for all of our new listeners. So, yeah, there's a whole new perspective on things. So as we wrap this up, do you have another trip planned here maybe over the summer and the fall?
We have a very special trip planned this October. It's our 20th wedding anniversary. And so we're going for 10 days and staying 3 nights at, I think it's Pacific Rim at Universal. We've actually never been to Universal before, so that'll be a first for us. And then the other 7 nights, we're going to stay at the Beach Club, which we've also never stayed at before. So we wanted to do something a little extra special and take a little more time since it's our big 20th anniversary.
Well, congratulations a few months early, and enjoy that trip. You're really, you know, I like that you're finishing with Disney at a nice deluxe like Beach Club. I'll let it pass. You're staying over at Universal. No, you know, I have to keep that up because, you know, that's what everybody expects. But, you know, Pam raves about the Universal Resorts, and she says actually they're giving Disney a run for their money. So I think you're going to have a great experience both places.
Good. I'm excited about it. We've never done Universal because we love Disney so much, but we finally decided it was time we check it out. We've been down there so many times and never gone. So,
all right.
We figured this is a good time while we have a few extra days.
It's a great time of year. October is a beautiful time. Now, it can still be hot, but let's hope that you had the hot weather in April and that, you know, the weather gods will be with you, and it'll maybe be the 70s and 80s for you down there in October.
If it's hot, I'm okay with that. I much prefer the heat over the cold. November, we hit a strange cold snap. We can't seem to hit normal weather when we go. And one day, the high was in the 40s, and it was windy and drizzling. And so I'll take the hot any day. If it's in the 80s or 90s in October, I can handle that.
All right, I'm with you. I like the hot weather over the cold weather any day. It's, you know, except when I say that, when we do the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, it's going to be 97, you know, at 10:30 at night, because I've done the hot ones down there. You know, I did the Tower of Terror, the one where people were dropping like flies. So,
wow,
don't blame
that
me.
That
has if
to it's
be
hot.
Tough. Oh, it's just the humidity and the stifling just air. You know, like you can actually swim through the air sometimes at Walt Disney World. We all know, and that's how it was that night. So let's hope it doesn't happen again. So, well, Carmen, I appreciate your time. Now, I know that you do blog, and you got a lot going on. People can contact you and get in touch with you. So, how can people chase you down and you know, hear about all your adventures?
Yeah, we have a vlog that's called The Adventures of Peas and Carrots. So it's on YouTube, and they can access it by going to youtube.com/theadventuresofpandc, or they can also go to YouTube and just search for The Adventures of Peas and Carrots, and we'll come up. And we basically have all of our recent Disney trips up there. I'm still currently putting the April trip up. We also do have a few videos from other theme parks as well, ones that are closer to us here in North Carolina. So if people are interested, or if they want to see more details about the trips we've talked about, they're definitely up there. And the other main place they can reach me that I'm on every day is Twitter. It's at Peas and Carrots with the number 3 after it. Apparently, Peas and Carrots was already taken.
Imagine that.
And those are the best ways to find us. And if you go to and watch any of the YouTube videos, there's a list of other ways to contact us as well.
All right. Well, sounds great. I'll be checking that out now that I have a few more minutes of free time now that it's summer. And, you know, hope you guys have a great trip in October. You guys definitely deserve it for your 20th anniversary. And we'll sit down when you get back and talk about the adventures down there.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it.
Anytime. Love talking to you on Twitter. Love, you know, it's great. Isn't Twitter a great thing, though? You know, when people give you a follow, then you get to talk to people all around the world. It's an amazing thing.
Oh, it's wonderful. I've made so many friends that are just as into Disney as I am. It's been great. And I also want to tell you, I absolutely love your show. And this goes to you and the whole gang. I really enjoy it. I don't ever miss an episode.
Well, thank you so much. We love that. And because, again, you know, it's my little passion. Just like, you know, you got your vlog and this is just something that I needed an outlet, and it's so fun. I mean, just the rewards we've gotten back are just so amazing, getting to meet friends like you. So we'll definitely talk in October, and yeah, we'll talk 70% about Disney and 30% about Universal. we'll just say that right now. Since you're doing the 70-30 split there for 10 days, we'll kind of have to make sure that I set a timer or something. But we'll do a little Universal on that show.
Okay.
All right, Carmen. Thanks
Sounds
so much.
Good.
All right, don't forget today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of line, seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and yes, they even have an app for Universal, folks. If you're going over there, if you're going to the dark side, you don't want to wait in lines over there. You know what? Get in, get out, see all the rides, and that's what they can do. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com. The most important thing we need you to do today is to put Sunday, June 14th, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern on your calendar. Block it out. We know that it's Sunday and it's a family day. But, you know, have some time with your family for the 12-hour live Be Our Guest podcast to benefit Give Kids the World Village. We're going to try to make some magic and recreate what we did last year. Last year, we got to $12,000 for Give Kids the World in 12 hours flat. So we're going to try to do that again this year. So please tune in to MagicalMouseRadio.com on Sunday, June 14th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. We're leaving a lot of time this year to just talk to you, the listener. We're not going to have quite as many guests because we felt like it was rushed last year and we didn't get to talk to our listeners enough. So there's going to be lots of time for calls and stories and questions and just having a good time talking Disney. So we got 12 hours blocked out again, June 14th, 10 to 10, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. We can't do this without each and every one of you. And please do this week, spread the word wherever you go. You know, your blogs you read and, you know, put it in the comments or post it on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you go. Please let everybody know that we want to make some magic for these families down at Give Kids the World. Please give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And one more thing, if you wouldn't mind, drop by iTunes and give us a rating and a review. That helps us grow the show. And we need to do that here in the couple weeks before the 12-hour live show. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much for checking in. Hoping you're having a great Monday already. Let's keep this week being awesome. So for Carmen, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Continue to work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.